Hello, welcome to a beautiful podcast to fall in love, an unofficial Bachelor Nation show from TV Guide. I'm Liam Matthews, and joining me in TV Guide Mansion is my co-host from our season and Bachelor in Paradise, the giant gold Buddha off in the distance, Jacqueline Trumbull.
Hey! That's pretty auspicious intro.
Jacqueline is in a hotel room in Thailand. It's 8:30 p.m. today over there. You're in the most beautiful places on earth. Talking about The Bachelor.
Unlike last week on my birthday, I am actually very excited to talk about this episode.
At least somebody is.
I know. Nobody else is in the entire world. I saw Twitter. No one's excited.
People hated this episode.
This was one of my favorite episodes of all time. I'm stoked.
Wow.
I know.
So we have something to talk about here. We have some very differing opinions on this one.
Oh, yeah.
So this episode was the resolution of the Luke P drama from last week. You know, this is just an extension of that. Hannah told him to go, but then he came back and begged her to give him another chance. So she let him stay for the rose ceremony. And the other guys hated that decision because they hate Luke. And they berated him and browbeat him all through the cocktail party for talking about them to Hannah.
I know.
Hannah got so irritated with the whole situation that she yelled at the guys twice to leave Luke alone and focus on their own relationships with her. During the rose ceremony, she gave Luke that rose. And then for the second hour of the show, Hannah and Chris Harrison just recapped the season we'd just been watching. It was crazy. It was terrible.
It was like that annual Friends episode.
Yeah, like the reunion show or whatever. Yeah, the clip show.
The clip show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was total filler.
Yeah.
And that brings me to my first question. What the hell was that?
When I say this is one of my favorite episodes ever, I don't mean the filler stuff. I skipped most of that, with the exception of her time with Jonathan and then her talking about Marcus the Zit. I appreciated both of those
segments.
Oh, that
was funny. Yeah, the bloopers were kind of nice.
Yeah. Once I realized, two things I realized about the filler. One is that it could not have been filmed during that time. She must have come back after filming had wrapped. And done that, because why would they be in the Bachelor Mansion? So that made it worthless right there. There's absolutely I think she did a pretty good job of remembering her headspace during that time, but we weren't seeing anything truly honest, so that was a total waste of time. And then, the clips, that was super, super annoying. It was just a strange, strange decision on their part, but obviously they had so much content from last week's episode that they wanted another episode, but then didn't have quite enough to drag it out for two. So they just put something in,
yeah.
I watched it on Hulu, so I didn't feel like I wasted my time because I could just skip through it. So that's why I have such a positive attitude.
Right. This is a great Hulu episode.
Yeah.
So this was a bonus episode and the season's going to be longer than it otherwise would have been. That's also part of why this episode felt like it had more commercials, I feel like, was because they were just stretching it out. I think maybe it wouldn't be so bad if we had known going in that it was going to be this weird clip show. But,
Right.
So on Hulu, it's fine.
You don't know how good it is when you knew that in advance and got to skip all of that. It was like...
It's like a court date being canceled.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So my next question is, how do you think Hannah did this week?
I gave Hannah 15 out of 10. I loved
15 her. 15 out of 10. You loved her.
I loved everything about Hannah this episode. I thought she was awesome.
Wow. Okay.
The reason I loved this episode was that I felt like I was watching something real the entire time, ironically, until the clip show, which was all fake. It went from being like one of the most real episodes ever to being completely fake. So that was kind of amusing to me. When I was on Ari's season, he never really had to talk to the group. That just, like, all of our time with him in a group setting felt a little bit just... I mean, staged, but not in like a, not in a bad way, just like a, what did he have to say to an entire group of people? So it was really interesting seeing Hannah interact with the whole group of men. And she was, that was not rehearsed or practiced at all. Like, Ari would come in and he would have a speech prepared, before every rose ceremony. And she does that too, a little bit, but not this time, really. I mean, she just walked in there and was fed up and just said exactly what was on her mind. And I found it really interesting. She is not afraid of emotion. She's mm-hmm. not ashamed of it, which is awesome to see. I still think she's carrying the leadership of the role pretty well. And I remember we had both said at the beginning of the season, like, it could be bad because she's bad at articulating herself, but it could be good because, she's so unpracticed and so unpolished that we actually get something more robust from her. And I mean, that's exactly what we're getting every single episode. I know her better than any other bachelorette or bachelor there has ever been. I mean, I think she actually might be my favorite bachelorette. And it's not because I find her particularly like aspirational, not to say that she, you know, she isn't. It's just that I'm finally invested in someone's love story. Like, I kind of care who she ends up with. And I think that we'll be watching something real. I also really like Luke P as the villain, which isn't to say that I love Luke P, although I did not hate him this episode. I like him as a villain because it's real. Like, by the time Crystal got super annoying, Ari was over her. You know, she was just being dragged along for TV purposes. None of it was real. But this is like, she actually cares about this relationship. And I think he cares about her. I don't think he knows why, or maybe doesn't have valid reasons. But he actually, I think, is fighting for her and thinks it's because it's her. The final reason I absolutely loved this episode was when she said, "None of you know anything about me. None of you know me because you haven't asked me any questions. There are things I wanted to come in and tell you today about me, secrets, things that have hurt me in the past, and no one cares because you're all busy doing that." I mean, she's like the show, Colton season to me, until things got awesome, was like so fake and pointless for the first like 8 episodes. And it's because everything was polished. He just didn't have anything to say, but she has so many things to say and she actually wants to say them. And she's pointing out that these relationships become more competitive than compelling. And so when she's pointing out, like, they don't even ask me any questions, she's like, "Look, like, you guys are treating this like a game show and not like something seriously," which is what I'm doing. So I loved it.
You're very good at persuading me. that my initial opinion is often wrong. No, you're right. It was totally real. Like, she's the most emotionally transparent lead I've ever seen.
She's also the most herself.
Very, very silly, kind of goofy, weird. And right, and like, it's kind of irrational, you know? Like, keeping Luke around it's the wrong decision. But
it's the right decision.
Oh, okay.
I think it's the right decision because she has feelings for him, and that's the point of the show. And she knows, because she got wrapped up in drama on her season, that sometimes it's bullshit, you know? And like, sometimes people who are perfectly good people don't do well in this environment. Mm-hmm. Like, Crystal's a nice person. She's a nice girl. And everyone hated her on my season. And she came across horribly. And now everyone loves her. She just got married. Congratulations, Crystal. My point being, like, I think Luke is probably kind of a piece of shit. And he's definitely acting, you know, not exactly like a modern man towards her. But she's not actually getting that much time with him. And I loved when she told those dudes, she's like, "You think that all of my bad emotions are because of him, but it's all of you. It's all of this. And you need to trust me to have my own relationships with people and make my own decisions and not just assume that I'm stupid and blind. Like, I can have a problem-laden relationship with somebody and still want to give it a chance, especially in this environment where everything's weird." You know, like, if she still has questions about someone, she should keep them around, especially when there's a ton of men there she probably doesn't care about at all.
Yeah.
I was like rooting for Luke to get the rose at the end.
Yeah. No, I mean, what I mean was wrong decision. Like, it's the wrong decision watching at home as like strategy, you know, but her feelings are like, that's what matters. Like, it's the right decision for her heart at this moment, you know?
Yeah, I didn't hate Luke this episode either. I'm going to hate him real soon. I mean, according to the previews.
Oh, yeah.
I hate sexual purity shit. That's so annoying. And I'm glad she sticks up for herself. But I didn't, you know, a lot of men on this show get a ton of flack. Example A being Ari, for not leaving when they are asked to leave. But everybody in romance gets mixed messages about when you're supposed to fight for someone. And it was interesting that she said, you know, I want you to leave and I want you to respect that. And then he didn't. And so that made us be like, oh, come on, you know, like respect what she said. But I mean, he was right to fight for her in the end. You know, she kept him around. So I can't really blame him. And I wish that more men would fight for me. So I see that happening. I'm like, I'm going to put feminism in the back seat here and like put romance in the front seat and just say, sometimes that gut feeling you have that like what's happening defies logic and is just, it's just wrong. Sometimes you need to exhaust that and just fight and, you know, debase yourself and do whatever you have to just be like, I didn't leave any cards on the table. And so I was glad that he did that. And then, you know, like Garrett's all mad at him for like lying because apparently he did say their names, but I think the reason he quote lied about that was because he didn't do what they were really accusing him of doing, which was going to her and snitching about them. At least right. I don't remember him doing that, but it was a week ago, so I could be wrong. He was asked direct questions and he answered them, like, who's not going to do that? But he didn't go there like trying to be sneaky and undermine people, which is what they were really getting at.
Right. It was to the point where there's nothing he can do that will be okay in their eyes. Like, they're just going to attack him for anything that he does anytime he opens his mouth, which is why Hannah told him to zip it. She was just like, you just keep digging the hole. Like, anytime you talk, you're digging the hole deeper.
That was a great moment, too. She just did everything right in this episode. I loved her. But yeah, I mean, he acts very scared around these men. And I think he knows that it's pointless to say anything. Then he has these brilliant moments, like when Garrett said, I think this night was kind of my fault. And then it cut to Luke going, this night was 100% Garrett's fault. That was like the best moment of the episode.
Yeah, so that brings me to my next question.
Okay,
who was the worst guy this week? Because nobody came off great, but who was the worst?
Probably Garrett. I didn't mind that he asked Hannah that question though, but they do need to just who cares? Just get. I mean, this was like, I'd never understood why we were all mad at Crystal all the time either. Like, who cares? Eventually, these relationships implode if they're wrong, you know? Like, eventually, it happens. So just, why do you care about the character of a guy in the house who is not the person you are there to meet?
It
just doesn't matter. So, yeah, so that was annoying. He took the time with Hannah to figure out Luke's character, and I understand, like, why he would want to do that, but it was a waste of time of his time, and ultimately it didn't really matter because, like, what was he going to do with that information? He was just going to go back and fight Luke about it. So, that was kind of annoying.
Well, and he had already won, you know? Like, he and Hannah had this nice conversation about, like, oh, our relationship is good. Like, Hannah was like, I like where we're at.
Yeah.
And then he was like, great. But what about Luke?
Right.
By bringing up Luke again, like hammering this point that Hannah didn't even want to talk about.
Right.
He probably, you know, made himself less appealing in the long run.
Yeah. I think what Hannah was forgetting a little bit is, I don't think it's completely stupid for them to have conflict, you know, because ultimately they are spending more time around each other than they are around her. And only one person gets to have a relationship with her when this is over, and the rest of them just have each other. So it makes sense that they care. But ultimately, like, you don't have to love all of them. And if there's one snake, don't talk to him. Like, it's okay. And they also didn't have to have that fight that night. Like, you don't have to do it at the cocktail party. You have so many other hours to do it. Obviously, though, that's when they're being riled up by producers to have those conversations. So it happens naturally.
Yeah. No, they got an extra hour of show out of it.
Yeah.
I felt kind of bad for Luke, you know, just for being like so, so hated by everyone that any move he makes, they're going to pounce on him.
I felt kind of bad for him too. And I know I'm like not allowed to, because apparently he's like a psychopath or whatever, and the, you know, king misogynist. But I, like, at the end of the day, I do think he's trying. I do think he is listening to her and trying to change. But it's not like you change who you are overnight. I mean, you know, I see him take little steps. Like, I see him trying to confront the men. I see him trying to keep his temper down and be patient. That looks like it goes to shit in the next couple of episodes. But I see him trying to apologize a little bit. And he may have even given, like, a group apology that just got cut out by editing. Like, I wouldn't be surprised at all. Because he's not totally stupid. There's nothing he could say ever. And they kept asking him questions. Nothing's more annoying than when they ask him a direct question and then are determined to condemn whatever he says.
They kind of kept changing what they were mad about.
Right.
It was impossible. All right. So let's take a break. We'll talk a little bit more about Luke. And eventually we're going to get to some listener questions. Back after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, we're back. So I think there's a little bit more to talk about with Luke and Hannah. There was some fun stuff. Like I liked Luke going to a church to pray.
Yeah.
I just like that he got his own little, like, an insert scene.
Oh yeah, like the producers just marched him to some cathedral and like
yeah. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't a cathedral. It was like, it seemed like it was a Catholic church.
Oh yeah, no, I don't know. Yeah.
Which I don't know if it was, but it looked like a Catholic church to me. You know, they had to take, you know, they took the morning to go shoot Luke there. I thought that mm-hmm. was mm-hmm. it was very kind of like a cinematic little insert there.
Well, it's also sort of, there's something kind of sacrilegious about being like, okay, like, go fake pray in a church right now while we film you.
Oh no, he was really praying.
He was.
He's a religious guy.
But it was so planted. Do you know what I mean? Like,
How do you think it went? Do you think he was like, hey, I need to pray on this, and then can we go to a church or something? Or maybe they suggested he's like, I need to pray on this, and they're like, well, do you want to go to church?
It was probably the other way around, but it's possible. I mean, I don't really know how religion works, to be honest. Like, can't you just pray anywhere? Is it mandatory that you pray in a church for things that are really important?
It's more dramatic to pray in a church.
Well, yeah, right. So that's why I feel like it's possible that he was like, hey, I like really need a day in church. And then they were like, cool, this is a good opportunity for B-roll. Let's get the whole camera crew and go. Either way, it's a pretty funny scenario versus if they were like, hey, would you like to do some contemplation in a church so you're really contemplating? Because that's what those shots are. It's like contemplation shots. They tell us to look out into the distance and contemplate things. Mm-hmm. It's very funny to shoot.
You're right. You're just thinking about like...
Especially in Bachelor in Paradise when you're contemplating like if you should have 3 tequila shots or 4.
it's like Melania Trump tweeted that picture of a whale with the caption, what is she thinking?
Yeah.
I think that's what I would think about. I would think about the picture that Melania Trump tweeted.
You know, I always find it funny when Chris Harrison plays therapist. It's so yeah. funny. Because it's just not him. I mean, at least from what I've seen, he is like the most sarcastic, dry, bro-ish person I can think of. And it's like, that's the last kind of personality I would want when I'm sobbing and like breaking down about my love life. And I know part of him thinks that this show is stupid. And I would know that while I'm talking to him, you know, and I'm the figurehead of the show. And I'm so like, you do get embroiled in it, you know, but I would feel like such a fool, like, you know, breaking down in front of him when he's like, I don't know, when this is his job, but he
yeah,
doesn't
he's just
have,
doing
like,
his job.
Yeah, but it's not like a producer who has a real relationship with you and is like, you know, that's based on something deeper than just, I'm going to ask some some therapy questions to someone I almost never speak to. But then again, he does officiate literally all of their weddings, so I guess at some point he develops a real relationship with them. I don't know.
Yeah, he's also just the oldest guy there, so that probably counts for something. he's got some wisdom, right? He's been doing this for so long. He's seen it all.
I guess so.
Somebody tweeted that he should get an honorary doctorate.
In my head, he's just like rifling through golf stats whenever he's having these conversations. Like, in his head.
That's what he really cares about.
That's what he, I know, really.
My friend Candy, shout out to my friend Candy. Mm-hmm. She said that Hannah should just sleep with Luke and then send him home. That would solve the issue.
Well, I am very confused about his sexuality because he said that he had been using and abusing women for years. So I assume he's had sex, but now he is shaming her. I mean, he will be soon. So yeah, I don't like know a, if what
he's like a born again. He's like a born again virgin.
Virgin, is he?
Like Sean Lowe.
I try to be kind of open-minded to that thinking because we give passes for, like, I don't know, religious customs for so many, I don't know, other religions that if, like, I mean, this is a thing in our society, this born-again virgin shit. I mean, I obviously don't believe in it, but, you know, I mean, it's a religious thing, not just a total he's an asshole thing that, I mean, I can understand that he would want to be, like, aligned with his wife on his beliefs, but I just don't. I mean, I just think it's a dangerous attitude to have. But it's not like it's that rare. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean we just had
a whole season about it, except that Colton was actually pretty understanding about that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it comes up on this show pretty often, yeah.
It was also unclear whether he was shaming her for having sex with other people or just whether he was like, I would be pretty upset if you had sex with somebody else on this show, which I think is a lot more reasonable. And then we've had past seasons address that. I mean, you know, Caitlin slept with Nick and everybody was all up in arms about it. And I think I would have been kind of upset too, especially if I had the relationship with Ari that Luke has with Hannah and then Ari slept with somebody else like mid-season. I would think that was pretty like...
But, yeah, but like more, but like morally wrong or like,
just no, like, oh. Not, no, not,
yeah,
I mean,
but just like, oh, like he likes this, you know, he likes this person more. You know,
yeah,
why wasn't it me?
I get, but what happens when you leap that far ahead with one particular person is that it shows that everyone else's time is being kind of wasted. Or, and the thing with Caitlin is that she didn't choose Nick in the end, and so it kind of made it seem like she was being a bit flippant with the relationships because she was taking that one so much further, but it wasn't as though she just went in and she was like, I like this guy, you know, this show is ultimately about me, so I'm just gonna, you know, like, all these other men, like, they are kind of just here so that I can find my husband, and like they're kind of superfluous, and I know that. It just made them kind of, it made them feel like they were wasting their time when they actually weren't, which is just kind of an odd position to put somebody on that show when it's very easily avoidable, you know? Like it's not a smart or respectful move, I think. I don't think that's a gendered thing, you know? Like if Ari had had sex with, I don't know, I mean, any of them, like if Ari had sex with Crystal, I think all of us would have been very, very confused. Yeah, very confused. And it's also just weird to like be dating somebody that you've never slept with and like they're sleeping with somebody else that's like sharing a room with you, you know? It's just like, well, it doesn't feel right. So I don't think that that's that puritanical of a thing. But obviously it was made into like, he seemed like he was slut shaming her in general. And I think that, I mean, it is weird that they had them like naked skydiving. I think it's pretty funny, so I'm glad they did it. But it's like a weird, it's kind of a strange thing to do. Like, what's the, I there was probably some like, you're gonna really, they've had so many bungee jumping dates, they're running out of ideas. They're like, let's just take their clothes off, you know, like this will up the ante a little bit. Yeah. So now when they say they trust each other now and they've been through an experience, like, it's not the same old line. It's really true. So.
And that's with Jed, who you think.
I thought that was with Garrett.
Oh, was it Garrett? I thought it was Jed, but maybe it was Garrett. Somebody with tall hair.
yeah, that's both of them.
yeah, I thought it was just like, you know, thou shalt have no other men before me. That's kind of the vibe that I got.
Yeah, maybe that's true. But she literally said on The Bachelor that she had had sex with somebody else and he saw her season. He said that night one. So that would be very weird.
I don't know. We do know. Hannah's horny.
Hannah is horny. It's very...
That preview was hot.
It's crazy. It was also very clear who the important men are. Like, the rest can just go home now.
Yeah. If you're not Pilot Peter, Jed...
Tyler... Luke, or Garrett. And Garrett's still kind of like, you know, he's probably got a week or two left.
Yeah. He's probably number five.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
If you're not any of them, kick rocks.
Mike got some airtime too, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it looks like Mike gets another date.
Yeah, I know. Seemingly all these men get like four more dates. I didn't understand how this much action could be packed into the remainder of the season.
I had a thought that, was this the worst episode of The Bachelorette ever? You have persuaded me that it is not.
Yeah, I think at least for the first of The Bachelorette ever.
At least for the first hour.
Right, and then the last 5 minutes talking about her zit.
The zit stuff was funny. Right, and she said, she Aaron just made a face. Our producer Aaron, filling in for Aliza, he made a face like her zit. So she had a big zit on her face early in the season, and she named it Marcus.
And then she misnamed a guy that she sent home. She came out into that. She was like, Marcus is a piece of shit, so I sent him home. And they were like, Scott?
Who's Marcus? You mean Scott?
She's like, oh my God, that's funny. How much I hated him. I confused him with my zit. Great moments for Hannah. Like, so... Yeah. That's so good. I know who she is. I didn't know who Colton was until the last two episodes of that show.
Yeah.
And he turned out to be kind of a loser. Hannah's, like, cool and funny.
No, Hannah's funny. I like how... I really appreciate how silly she is.
Yeah, how goofy. She's great.
Okay, we're going to take a break. Then we're going to do some listener questions. Back after this.
So we're doing just a couple mailbag questions that we got from people on social media. So one person says, are you excited to start graduate school and have no social life until you have a PhD? It's funny because people keep asking me if I'm excited. And I'm like, I'm excited I got in. I mean, it's hard to be excited to go. I mean, I'm joking a little bit. I'm really, really excited to learn therapy and to focus on something. And I think it's time that I focus on meaningful things and fulfillment right now instead of playing. But it's also very daunting. And I haven't had to work very hard for the last couple of years. My job at Mount Sinai was pretty easy. So there's that. But
that was part of why you did the show, right? Because it's just an adventure.
Yeah, I just, right. I felt like I'm somebody who needed to get to sow my oats, if you will, but that doesn't mean with men or sex. I had to have all of the adventures, all of them. I have crazy FOMO, but I kind of feel like I've done it. I've gotten to the point where even New York, I was like, I wasn't bored by New York, but I don't have FOMO anymore. I've done the things. I've done a lot of things. I've traveled a lot. I've seen a lot. I've dated a lot. I think actually the next frontier is to focus. And to learn something really well and develop expertise. And that's in both career and relationships. Like, I don't need to, you know, date people for months at a time anymore or You know, just have casual things just to kind of answer questions I have about the nature of men or romance or dating. It's all of those questions have pretty much been answered. And so I am looking forward in a sense to slowing down and narrowing in. But that doesn't mean that it won't be incredibly difficult for me, because the patterns and the habits I have formed are not very conducive to graduate school. So I'll have to shape up.
Yeah, but also, you know, just the change of, you know, the change of scenery, the sudden drastic change in your life may, you know, kind of force you to reevaluate.
Yeah, I mean, I'm moving to not a large city, which is hard for me to accept. I'm moving into an apartment by myself for the first time, and I am not a responsible person. I mean, I don't clean very well. My plants
die. The dishes
die.
Are gonna be stacked up.
I'm decent at dishes, but like, I can like never remember how to clean a toilet. I mean, it's pretty pathetic. I keep having roommates who are just really generous people and do those things. yeah, it's gonna be pretty brutal, but I'll have to learn.
Well, that's cool. Sounds good. So no FOMO about, but you never, did you ever go to City Island in New York?
No, what's City Island?
Oh, it's the island of, in the Bronx, off the coast of the Bronx, where they have seafood and stuff.
Oh, no, but I don't like seafood, so.
All right, so you did it all.
Done it all. Okay, the next person says, what is it like dating as a bachelor world person? Hard to meet regular folks? I don't think that my dating life has changed very much since the show, actually. I think that dating in general has changed a lot, but I think that's actually much more due to dating apps and just the culture around dating changing a lot in recent years. I would say the first year after the show, my dating life was pretty terrible in the sense that I met two men that I was absolutely wild about, and both of them crushed my soul, like, kind of quickly. So that was a bummer. And dating really, until now, when it's going pretty excellently, I would say, has been extremely demoralizing. But that's fine, because that's, everything's fine now. I don't know. It's not like I was going out with fans. I went out with like one guy who saw one episode and like contacted me because of it. But it's not like I go around feeling like a celebrity in any way. So that hasn't had really any effect. Some people have contacted me on Instagram, but they usually have private profiles, and it's just, you know, I'm not going to do anything with that.
Yeah, what is that? Don't do that. That's crazy.
I don't know why they do. If you have a private profile, don't reach out to other people. Like, I used to play the game. Ooh, my dating life. Not my dating life. This is actually good. This is good juicy gossip. And since he ghosted me, I don't feel like I have to protect his privacy anymore. So I used to play the game B-list celebrity DM slide, where I would find celebrities who I thought might have a passing chance at responding to me and then slide in their DMs. Really, I only did this twice. But one of them was with my biggest celebrity crush, Rufus Sewell, and we actually ended up talking for like a month and a half, probably, like texting back and forth, exchanging selfies, that kind of thing. I mean, like head up selfies, nothing inappropriate. And he was pretty awesome, but then he just stopped responding, which is a bummer.
Well, after six weeks of no meeting, I mean, you lose interest.
No, I know. Man, I would have flown across the world, though, but his life is pretty complicated.
Who was the other one?
Josh Radner. He accepted the message but didn't respond. Yeah. So I he took it off. So if I texted him, if I DM'd him again, like it would show up in his messages. It wouldn't be in the unseen ones. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I kind of wonder if he just forgot to respond or something, because I sent him a pretty thoughtful message. But whatever. I hear he's a dick. Well, okay. So anyway, so then another person asked for book recommendations. What recommended beach reading might Bachelor Nation fans like during season downtime? I don't think that I give very good book recommendations because I have very specific taste. But I think that the most, like, I think the author that I like a lot is Pat Conroy, who I think is, he mixes like good plot with beautiful writing. I tend to read really boring books because I read for the sentences and the writing style. And yeah, just like very specific moments. So a lot of the books I read, I like 90% of it will actually might be very boring, but then 10% will be magnificent. So I love them. But the other book that I think is amazing is called Light Years by James Salter, I believe. It's a bit depressing, but it's absolutely, absolutely stunning. So I don't really think that that's beach reading, though. But
what's it about?
Good. It is about a couple in like the 70s who basically got married because that was the thing to do. That's just cultural. And it's basically about like the dissolution of their marriage. But it's kind of because they come into themselves and they start, you know, they just sort of develop their own individuality and outlooks on life, and they find themselves to be incompatible in myriad ways. But it's a very, very thoughtful, insightful, and beautifully written book.
Cool. Sounds like The River by Bruce Springsteen, which is a song that makes me cry every single time I listen to it. I have a book recommendation.
Okay, go.
Two books, really. Both by my cousin, Brendan Matthews, who asked that I, months ago asked me to plug his books on the podcast, and I just never had an opportunity to, but now here we go. He has a collection of short stories called This Is Not a Love Song. If you watch The Bachelor and the Bachelorette, you're probably interested in love, and it's a collection of stories about love. They're not, you know, romantic stories. They're just about different kinds of love. Beautiful stories. He's a, you know, great writer. My favorite one is the one about the Bosnian journalist. and he also has another novel called The World of Tomorrow that's about three Irish brothers in New York in the 1930s. And it's kind of, you know, it's not based on our grandfather, but, you know, there's some family history stuff in there. So if you want to know about Matthew's family history, read The World of Tomorrow by Brendan Matthews.
I have one more book recommendation. It's called Life Goes to the Movies by Peter Selgin. He's not a very well-known novelist. I know him because my dad is friends with him. But it's really, really good book about kids basically growing up in like the 1980s in New York wanting to make movies and their unusual friendship. It's awesome. So yeah, so that's our book recommendations. And then as far as other questions go, my brother asked, who is your favorite brother? But I have two, so my hands
both
are tied.
Both of them for different reasons.
Well, the funny is the brother who asked that question does not listen to the podcast, and my brother who did not ask that question does listen to the podcast, so I don't really know who to pick.
My favorite of Jacqueline's brothers is the one who does listen.
That would be Charlie. Hi, Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie. I had one question. I got one from Megan Brady. Mm-hmm. Megan Brady asked, who do you want to see get together in Paradise? We have the full Paradise cast is out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The original cast or the full one?
Yeah, I guess probably original.
Well, because I would assume that would give the spoilers away.
Yeah, of like who's coming later. I don't know. But we got Annalise is going back.
Are you serious?
Kaylin, yeah.
Okay.
Kaylin is going.
Okay.
Chris Bukowski.
Oh my God. Okay.
He's doing. This is his
sixth
this
show.
This will be
I think,
his
something like that.
Sixth show. Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's a record. That's a record. Chris Bukowski going for the record. Okay. So, but in terms of couples, I want to see get together. I have one. I actually have one. I want to see Clayshia. Clay and Tayshia.
Aw, that would be nice.
Just for that, just because they have such a good portmanteau
name.
Yeah,
I can't remember who I did like Tayshia. I don't know why Chris Bukowski keeps punishing himself with the show.
Chris Bukowski is 48 years old. He's Chris Harrison's age. I've never seen any of the Chris Bukowski stuff.
I know Chris Bukowski. He's fun.
He's Charles Bukowski. What if Charles Bukowski was on The Bachelorette? All right. I think we're just going to end on that. What if Charles Bukowski was on The Bachelorette? Something to think about. Until next week, I'm Liam Matthews.
I'm Jacqueline Trumbull.
This has been a beautiful podcast to fall in love. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Bye.
Whether it's a new Netflix original, the latest season of a long-running network drama, or a reevaluation of a legendary comedy series, TV Guide is the place for fans to come and find out about their favorite shows and movies. And, with our help, discover some new favorites as well. From our Watch This Now recommendations and newsletter to our WTF Just Happened video series, TV Guide is the premier hub for people who love TV as much as we all do to come and hang out. Visit us at TVGuide.com, follow us on social media at TV Guide, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/TV Guide, for all this great free content. And let us help you find your next binge.